Josh, I have to ask you, did you know our passage today was on the armor of the Lord when you selected that song?
You didn't tell me a word.
I love it when that happens. If you'll open your Bibles, we'll start in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We'll pause there. So here we have Paul. He's imprisoned. He's most likely under house arrest. He's writing to encourage the church and instructing them on to put on the armor of God. And they, of course, have a picture of a Roman soldier because that's who the soldiers are around there for them at the time. And something that's really neat is he starts with the order in which you put the armor on. The soldier would put the armor on. So the very first thing the soldier would do is put on the belt. And the reason that is so crucial is because attached to the belt is the breastplate. And so attaching the breastplate to the belt keeps it from flopping around so it can stay in place to protect the soldier's organs. And then what it also does is it's a place to secure the sword to, right? And so if the belt fails, the soldier's in a horrible trouble in the battle, right? Because when they go to battle, they have a spear often in their hands. So they need their sword for backup for later. So if the belt fails, they're going to lose that sword. If the belt fails, the breastplate will get out of place and most likely cause them to also fail in battle. So getting the belt on right is crucial. And 2 weeks ago, Frank talked about getting Jesus right. Who Jesus is crucial to who we are. So Paul talks and says, each day when you put on the armor of God, you have to start with getting Jesus right. Then you can get the righteousness right. Then you can use the word correctly. Paul is so adamant about this. It's a call to action to put on the armor. He says it twice, verse 11 and 13, you see him put on the armor. And then immediately following the call to action, he's saying to put on the whole armor. So one or two pieces isn't sufficient. You have to put on the entire armor. Truth, righteousness, gospel, faith, salvation, and the word of God. And then we can stand against Satan's attacks, which can come in many forms, such as attacks on a believer's reputation, financially, and physical attacks. In verse 18, Paul then calls them to pray, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. For a soldier to win the battle, they have to know what the battle plan is, right? So praying in the Spirit, it changes our hearts, so that we will be in line with God's, with his plans and with his desires. When we hear about persecution, sometimes our flesh wants to jump to the justice part. But as our song earlier said, Christ came for the captive soul. And it is when we pray in the Spirit that we see those that persecute and we look upon them with pity in our hearts because they do not know Jesus. The Spirit also intercedes for us when we don't know what to say. Romans 8, 26 through 27 tells us, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. As Paul finishes his prayer, he has a request for himself. Now, I thought this was interesting, because if someone asks you for how can I pray for you, you don't say, "Oh, pray for me to continue to memorize scripture because I'm doing really good at it." You always pray for an area you're struggling in, right? That's what you ask for prayer for. And here Paul himself, who we all look at with high regard, he's asking not for freedom, not for health, not for personal comfort, which we all know, I'm sure he wouldn't mind any of that. But he's asking for the ability to effectively evangelize boldly, which we typically don't think of Paul as needing prayer in this specific area, but that's exactly what he's asking for, that he can boldly proclaim the gospel. This morning, you are going to hear about some modern-day Pauls who have put on the armor of God. And through persecution, you will hear what their prayer requests are. And their prayer requests are not focused mainly on their safety, but their prayer requests are focused on furthering the gospel, just like Paul's. This morning, for International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, we will be encouraged by their faith, and we will have an opportunity to join them in their work by petitioning our God to help them. So for International Day of Prayer, if you haven't joined us for this before, we do it one Sunday a year. It's typically the first Sunday of November. We just moved it up a week this year. And we share stories of persecuted believers across the world. And then when we finish the story, we break into just small groups of folks around you. We recommend 3 to 7 folks usually that are just right around you. And then you're going to have a few minutes to pray for that, for those believers. And then I'll pray, and then I'll read the next story, and we'll move on to the next one. And that's kind of how the service will go. Do not feel like you have to pray out loud with everyone. It's not meant for that. It's meant for us to, just as a body, come together and lift up our brothers and sisters that are around the globe that are being persecuted. So our first one starts in the country of India. And here we're going to hear actually about 4 different brothers of Christ in the area of Kashmir. Kashmir is the northern part of India. It's right next to Pakistan. It is 97% Muslim. And we start with Ahmed. He was born in this area. And the part of the problem in this specific area, because it's next to Pakistan, Pakistan wants Kashmir. And so the Pakistan government and the India government are always fighting for this area. And then you have inside there, because it's 97% of Muslim, a lot of the people that live there want to be part of Pakistan, not of India. And so then there are freedom fighters that are also in there. And in 1991, Ahmed, he had to flee the area with his wife and kids after he was accused of an uprising in his Kashmir village between the Indian soldiers and the Islamic freedom fighters. So for safety, he moved his family to Jammu, which is predominantly a Hindu area, so that way they would be safer. And once he moved there, he found he gave in to drinking a lot, so much so that he was hospitalized. And so when he was in the hospital, his sister was a new believer, and she had asked her pastor to go to pray for him. And the pastor decided to go above and beyond that and to go visit him and share the gospel with him. And Ahmed gave his life to the Lord. And within a week, he was healed. And Ahmed gave this credit to the Lord. And this caused him to want to to share the gospel with others for what God had done in his life. It also gave him a strong prayer life. He joined a house church of only four people. And there he felt God's leading to share the good news with his neighbors. He and three other men volunteered to share the gospel around Jammu for the next 7 years, with a goal of reaching 50 households a day. As time went by, Ahmed and his friends got the attention of the Hindu National Organization. It's called the RSS, or the Rashtriya Tri Usuyam Sevak Sangh. I had to practice that one. In an effort to stop Ahmed and his friends witnessing, they beat him. Through the beatings, Ahmed found comfort in knowing that Jesus was beaten too. Ahmed understood this was part of following Jesus. Ahmed and his team completed their 7 years in 1999 and were able to plant seven churches in the region. A short time later, Ahmed had a dream, and he felt God calling him to return to Kashmir. Once working in Kashmir, he met a man named Muhammad Yusuf Bhatt and led him to Christ. Yusuf was so enthusiastic, he quickly started training to share the gospel. He was a bold convert. He was not afraid of the Islamic extremists. He discipled men, handed out Bibles despite constant death threats, thanks to Ahmed's courage to share the gospel with him. At one time, Ahmed was beaten for handing out audio Bibles during Ramadan. This beating changed Ahmed's tactics, so he started leaving Bibles in public places, like on bus seats and benches for people to find. But the death threats kept coming, and the beatings keep coming. Between the years of 2000 and 2019, Ahmed had to move his family 185 times to keep them safe. Today, Ahmed is working on planting one house church in each of Kashmir's 10 districts and training leaders. So far, God has given him four leaders to train. In 2015, Yusuf was shot and killed by four masked gunmen who were set on silencing him for good. But this act only watered the seeds he had planted. One of his converts was Yusev, who has continued to share the gospel boldly and has recently led an Islamic umman who taught at the local mosque to Christ. This one, I'm actually going to leave him nameless for now, just to protect his safety, because he's such an influential, he was influential in the Islamic community. The fact that he converted to Christ is causing others to question their faith. And therefore, he has had to go into hiding. And the ministry we pair up with in India is actually hiding him in a safe house right now. So we're going to take a few minutes now, if you'll get in your groups of folks around you. And we're going to pray for Ahmed and his families for their safety. But one of his prayer requests is that God will bring him more men to disciple, to become leaders of church plants. And then for the gentleman we're going to leave nameless, for the umman, pray for him for what God has next for him in his life. What now does life look like for him to serve God? And pray for Yusuf. He's the man that led umman to the Lord, that he will continue to be bold in his preaching, just as Paul requested. And that Yusuf's life and death would continue to impact people through hearing his story. And then after a few minutes, I'll pray. So go ahead and take a minute, get in a group, three to seven folks, roughly, give or take.